Why Not Contraception by Father Robert J. Fox. Faith. Faith is a theological virtue by which we believe in God and believe all that He has said and revealed to us, and that the Holy Church proposes for our belief, because He is truth itself. By faith, man freely commits his entire self to God. For this reason, the believer seeks to know and do God's will. The righteous shall live by faith. Catechism of the Catholic Church. Why not contraception? The modern world tells us that families finally came of age with the advances of medicine that ensure married people of easy control of the size of their families. The use of contraceptives is one of the best inventions in these times. Easy availability of effective contraceptives will strengthen marriages, it was said. Also said, the archaic Catholic Church has not kept pace with these times, when contraceptives are socially acceptable to modern men and women of the 20th and 21st centuries. Further, the modern world tells us that population growth is out of hand. Starting at the same time as the discovery of the pill, the media presented images showing people standing atop one another's heads as there was no room left for the growing human populations in the world. Why is the Catholic Church holding out against new and novel methods of birth control and family size control when the world has changed so much? For thousands of years, people did not have access to various methods of contraception. Until recent centuries, the world was largely underpopulated as well as ignorant of contraceptives. The Church has thus not kept up with the times. What is needed, the modern mentality says, is more education on safe sex and on the use of contraceptives. Sex education for many means teaching contraception. Contraception is something new? Think again. The lay renowned scholar and theologian, Father John A. Hardin, S.J., who did much research on our subject, spoke of contraception and eternal death. He said, "Historians agree that contraception is a social practice that goes back to centuries before Christ. It is recorded in 2700 B.C. in China, 1850 B.C. in Egypt. In the Roman Empire of the first century of the Christian era, contraception was universally approved and just as universally practiced by the people. As might be expected, the followers of Christ were faced from the beginning with a hard choice. If they wanted to remain faithful to Christ's teachings, they had to avoid contraception. No options. In the vocabulary of the day, contraceptive practices at the time were referred to as using magic or using drugs. It was in this sense, in the first century, the teachings of the 12 apostles taught in four successive precepts. You shall not use magic. You shall not use drugs. You shall not procure abortion. You shall not destroy an unborn child. This document, the teaching of the 12 apostles, was written about the year 90 AD. The sequence of the four prohibitions is significant. We know from the records of those times of 17 medically approved contraceptives. If a woman still became pregnant, she would then try to resort to abortion. And if even this failed, she and her male partner could always resort to infanticide, which was universally approved by the then Roman law. Christians were warned not to follow the example of their pagan contemporaries, who, as the faithful were told, walk in darkness and the shadow of death. Christians were actively forbidden to practice contraception, which they are told leads to abortion, which leads to infanticide. From apostolic times, people were forbidden to practice contraception. Already in the first century of the Christian era, those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior were told, "You may not. It is contrary to the expressed will of God to practice contraception." The Church has always taught the same thing. Contraception is a grave sin which no one who claims to be a follower of Christ may perform. What have been the consequences of contraception? In one civilized nation after another, the consequences have been many. Fornication, adultery, sterilization, homosexuality, AIDS, the breakdown of the family, and the murder of the unborn. Every Christian church up until 1930 taught that contraception was wrong. There was a universal teaching against contraception within Christian churches. It was only in 1930 that the Anglican Church first broke with that unbroken Christian tradition, and it approved of contraception within marriage when the couple thought they had a serious reason. The sad action of the Anglican Church brought an almost immediate response from the Vatican. In 1931, Pope Pius XI issued the encyclical Casti Canubi on Christian marriage and reiterated what had been the constant teaching of the Church condemning contraception and what could be the consequences. It has, in fact, had other sad consequences for the Anglicans as the years have advanced. There was virtually no debate within the Catholic Church until the mid-60s. It was frequently said and heard, Catholics don't believe in birth control. Catholics don't believe in divorce. We shall see that there is a connection. And the truth is, the Catholic Church does not believe in artificial birth control. The Catholic Church does not believe in divorce. Both are forbidden by God and His Holy Church and will remain so. Most Catholics believe such things were seriously wrong and would never have questioned the Church's teachings. Most states, in fact, had laws outlawing contraception. But in the 1960s, the pill became available, and the sex revolution was on, aided and promoted by the radical feminist movement. The secular media, which often misrepresents Catholic teachings and pronouncements, was quick to confuse millions of Catholics when Pope Paul VI, on July 29, 1968, issued his long-awaited encyclical, Humani Vitae, of human life. Dissenters, which included many liberal theologians who had been advocating that the Church should permit artificial birth control, as it would help marriages, were rapid in denouncing the authoritative pronouncement of Paul VI, who reaffirmed the centuries-old teachings of the Church on contraception. Media anti-moral babbling promote confusion. There was not time to have read the encyclical just released, or for it to have been printed in English and various languages, when dissenters to the encyclical were publicized by various media across the country. It was first announced that the Pope had reaffirmed in an encyclical on human life the Church's teachings condemning contraception. This was followed quickly with headlines, 600 Catholic theologians dissent against Pope's encyclical. They dissented against an encyclical they had not read or seen. Who were these 600 theologians? I was ordained a priest 13 years prior to the release of the encyclical and had been told in the seminary that in the United States, a relatively young country for the Catholic Church, we had but three or four reputable theologians whose caliber could be considered worthy of accepting their positions on moral issues. However, almost overnight, the phone callers engineered by a Father Greeley found 600 theologians dissenting. A considerable number were not, in fact, theologians, but had simply taken a summer course or two from the Catholic University in Washington, D.C. I was aware of one signer, who was a nun, who had taken but one summer course at the Catholic University. John Cardinal Wright, prefect of the Vatican's Council for the Clergy, personally told me he got hold of the list of 600, which instigators were reluctant to release. He recognized one name as being a maidservant he knew in a Southern Catholic rectory. The young black woman, not Catholic, told him she was working in the rectory that night when phone calls went out across the country, attributed to the provocation of Father Andrew Greeley of the Catholic University, asking the supposed theologians for their dissent against the encyclical. The young woman was told about the list being drawn up, and would she like her name attached? Not understanding what it was about, she answered, "I would be happy to have my name on the list." Father Greeley, after some years, was stripped by the Church of his title as a Catholic theologian. The widespread publicity given by the media to dissenting Catholic theologians gave many Catholics the idea they could dissent against Catholic moral teachings and still consider themselves good Catholics. Most Catholics at that time and to the present day have never read Humani Vitae, but formed their minds from secular media presentations. Be that as it may, the authoritative teaching of 2,000 years of Church teaching from the time of the Apostles to the present remains the true teaching on contraception. What did Humani Vitae say? In brief, love-giving and life-giving should never be separated. Key excerpts follow. Indeed, by its intimate structure, the conjugal act, while most closely uniting husband and wife, capacitates them for the generation of new lives, according to laws inscribed in the very being of man and of woman. By safeguarding both these essential aspects, the unitive and procreative, the conjugal act preserves in its fullness the sense of true mutual love and its ordination toward the man's high calling to parenthood. It is, in fact, justly observed that a conjugal act imposed upon one's partner without regard for his or her condition and lawful desires is not a true act of love, and therefore denies an extendency of right moral order in the relationships between husband and wife. Hence, one who reflects well must also recognize that a reciprocal act of love which jeopardizes the responsibility to transmit life, which God the Creator, according to particular laws inserted therein, is in contradiction to the design constitutive of marriage and with the will of the author of life. To use this divine gift, destroying, even if only partially, its meaning and its purpose, is to contradict the nature both of man and of woman and of their most intimate relationship, and therefore it is to contradict also the plan of God and His will. Equally to be excluded is direct sterilization, whether perpetual or temporary, whether of the man or of the woman. Similarly excluded is every action which, either in anticipation of the conjugal act, or in its accomplishment, or in the development of its natural consequences, proposes, whether as an end or as a means, to render procreation impossible. Papal prophetic predictions. Pope Paul VI made several prophetic predictions. In his 1968 Human Life Encyclical of Consequences if Contraception was Accepted, I have summarized them. There would be a general lowering of morality in society. There would be a general disregard for the physical and psychological well-being of females by males, thus widespread pornography and promiscuity. Governments would use family planning programs for coercive purposes once contraception became available. This has happened through efforts of the United Nations, and such has been backed and fostered by Washington politicians, so-called population control. People would treat human bodies as if they were machines, no longer respect for the human person as one with both a body and an immortal soul, thus surrogate motherhood, in vitro procedures, embryos for stem cell research, etc. The divorce rate doubled between 1965 and 1975, when the pill began to spread widely and has risen ever since. Contraceptives did not strengthen, but weakened and destroyed many marriages. By the end of the first decade of the third millennium, there were more than 20 million children in the United States without fathers in their homes. Premarital sex for adolescents and unmarried adults subsequently has soared to such an extent that only a small percentage of our young people entering marriage has not defiled themselves. Being in serious sin is extremely destructive for couples preparing for holy marriage. Studies show that those couples who delay having children by using contraception are more likely to end up with weaker or failed marriages. Parents who use contraception cannot receive the Eucharist worthily until they repent and make a good confession. Otherwise, it is a mortal sin of sacrilege. We have written here of but a few of the evils that are destroying family life due to the widespread use of contraceptives. Studies show that couples who have babies soon in marriage and do not contracept have stronger and happier families and marriages which are more likely to last. Contraception and salvation. I conclude by quoting again the holy theologian, Father John A. Hardin, S.J., who was theological advisor for many years to the Vatican, approved Fatima Family Apostolate, which I founded for the sanctification of families. Contraceptives sold by the hundreds of millions in our country are not only contraceptive, but abortifacient. That is, guaranteed to prevent contraception or to ensure the murder of the unborn child if conception takes place. We who have the true faith must be clear. The moment the ovum is fertilized, at that moment, God, the Almighty Creator, creates an immortal soul. He infuses the soul into the body prepared by the mother and the father. Contraception is not only psychologically, but logically leads to abortion. Abortion follows contraception like the law of gravity. It is obvious as people come to equate sexual pleasure with self-gratification, they come to identify God-given pleasures of marital love with self-gratification. Contraception has taught people to have their own way, to stop at nothing to have their own way. Not even the murder of their unborn offspring stops them. Respect for human life requires selfless love of human beings. Otherwise, a country becomes a nation that kills innocent children if there is an obstacle to self-gratification. The hope of eternal life. What is this hope, and how can it be realized by faithful Christians who believe? We must believe that God has a reason. Even though we don't see the reason, there is still a divinely providential reason for God permitting a plague of contraception that affects so many people in our day. St. Paul tells us, where sin has abounded, grace will even more abound. Contraception has spawned an ocean of sin. Unless corrected, these crimes will lead to eternal death. We also believe that even the worst sinners can convert. The worst criminals can repent. We trust, therefore, that these crimes will be repented. The demonic forces in charge of our media that spreads and encourages these pagan practices. These people will repent and obtain the grace of God to make peace with God on one condition. That we, like our Christian forebears in the first century, who live lives of heroic virtue in Christian homes, provided we, like they, practice heroic chastity. Provided we, in the most homicidal century in human history, practice heroic charity. Then, and only then, can we plead to the throne of God and trust that our prayers will be heard, that God will, in His own way and time, draw good out of the great evil of contraception.